the threat of a railroad strike is back. There are likely thousands without jobs following Hurricane Ian, and the markets ended the day mixed in a wild session. It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the 11th day of October. Thanks for being with us, everybody. In other news, the Fed will stay on track raising interest rates until one of three things happen, and we've got that list. Might a new rule proposal be the end of gig workers? Remember when semiconductor chips were in short supply? Now things have changed. Amazon Prime Day is getting a solid meh from consumers. We've got the Wall Street Report and Partly Personal saying goodbye to a broadcasting legend. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, grateful that you're along for the ride again today. And yes, you can reach us on Twitter. We're there all day, all night, it seems, at IOB_NewsHour. It's back, and this is not good news. The threat of a railroad strike is back, and that will further complicate supply chain issues. CNN is reporting that a union of railroad track maintenance workers has rejected a tentative agreement with the nation's freight carriers. The vote, announced by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division, was 43% in favor of the proposed five-year contract and 57% opposed. So what's the issue? In a statement, the union said it's the lack of paid sick time off which was most cited, something that was especially evident during the pandemic that was a major problem in these negotiations. The union says the railroads have failed to address the issue in any meaningful way. About 12,000 of the 23,000 members of the union participated in the vote. It's the third largest of the major freight railroad unions. The two largest freight unions, which represent the more than 55,000 engineers and conductors who make up the two-person train crews, are conducting their own rank-and-file ratification vote by mail. Track Maintenance Union said it will now enter negotiations with the association that represents management at the nation's major freight railroads in an effort to reach a new deal. And without a new deal, there could be a strike, but not until at least November 19, according to the union. Things will remain status quo with the union's contract until that time. Hurricane Ian not only did billions of dollars of damage to property in Florida, but there's also another economic tragedy brewing. CNN is reporting that economists say tens of thousands of people are likely to file for unemployment benefits in the storm's wake, but if those workers, many of them in low-paying service sector industries like tourism, if those workers don't come back, the local economies of some hard-hit areas could struggle to rebound, and that could take years to balance out. Although the damage is still being tallied, early estimates indicate that Ian could be the most costly hurricane to make landfall in Florida. The storm's economic toll of insured losses could be between $53 billion and $74 billion, according to RMS, a Moody's Analytics disaster modeling firm. In the short term, a spike in jobless claims is almost inevitable. Hurricane Harvey in Texas prompted a rise of about 50,000 claims in August of 2017. It was a wild day on Wall Street as the major averages ran hot and cold all day long. At one point, the Dow topped 360 points to the good, only to come crashing down in the final 2 hours of the trade. What happened and what are the closing numbers? I'll have those for you in just a bit. And by the way, West Texas Intermediate crude was down today by over $2.50 a barrel to settle at $88.59. All signs point to yet another rate hike by the Fed come November, and no amount of crying from Wall Street will create a pivot in the central bank's strategy. So what will get the Fed to pivot? Market Insider reports that if one of these three things happen, the Fed will move away from higher rates. And what are those three things? Number one is evidence that inflation is going down. Now, even if it were to get to 4%, that might be enough to turn the tide. Number two is softness in the labor market. An unemployment rate of 4% or more with fewer job openings and rising unemployment claims could indicate the economy is starting to feel the pain that the Fed has been inflicting. And number three, if companies can't get funding, then we've got real problems. The liquidity and functioning of the markets deteriorate to the point that companies can't get funding or something breaks in the financial system, and that would be enough to push the Fed off its plan. Thousands of people are working the gig economy, taking on jobs like ride-sharing to delivery to construction. But now, CBS News is reporting that the Biden administration is going to publish the draft of a rule that's a test that the Department of Labor uses when it determines if employers broke wage and hour laws. It formally directs the agency to consider six factors when determining if a worker is an employee and therefore entitled to minimum wage, overtime, and the right to unionize, or an independent contractor, which is essentially a self-employed individual in business for themselves. After the Labor Department's proposal is published, the rule will remain open for public input for 45 days. You know, for months, the news was that a shortage of semiconductor chips was the reason everything from electronics to new cars were being held up. Well, now chip stocks are tumbling. And why? Chip stocks started their overall dive on Friday, with the SOX index down 12% since the announcement of widened restrictions on what U.S. chip makers can sell to China, potentially disrupting non-U.S. parts of the sector that may have manufacturing sites in China. Then the announcement of more money being poured into chip construction here in the U.S. also has had an impact. Auto and industrial chips were some of the scarcest kinds out there at the peak of COVID-19-related shortages. But now, other players have entered the field, and what was hard to find is getting much easier. Demand? Well, demand is still high, but the supply is coming back online, and that is not a good sign for chip stocks. Well, it's time for the Amazon Prime Day sequel, and consumers are giving it a hearty meh. Bloomberg is reporting that 8 hours into the event, sales were similar to the previous 30-day average, according to Clover. That's a research firm that uses real-time spending data from 3 million U.S. shoppers. By contrast, spending during the entire Prime Day sale in July was 13% higher. Retailers are bracing for a lackluster holiday that will require deep discounts to move a glut of inventory. Many consumers, meanwhile, are planning to cut back because of higher food and fuel costs, and that has left them with less disposable income. U.S. online spending in November and December will grow by just 2.5% this year to $209 billion, according to Adobe Incorporated. That would be a big slowdown from last year's gain of 8.6%. One other thing about this Prime Day is, who knew? I mean, did you know about it? Kind of snuck up on us. You? Wall Street had a wild ride today as the markets rose and fell and then fell yet again. The Dow ended the trade up by just 35 points to finish at 29,239. It had been up by over 360 points at noon Central. The NASDAQ fell by 115 points to close at 10,426. And the S&P 500 was off by 23 points to end the session at 3588. So what happened? Well, technology stocks suffered, and the benchmark 10-year Treasury note resumed a climb toward the key 4% level, and that, too, cooled investors. In addition, we've got some producer and consumer inflation data coming, and the first reporters of third-quarter earnings session, which include four of the country's largest banks by assets. The bottom line was that Wall Street felt uncertain, and that's never good news for the markets. And finally, there is this, and this is partly personal. Earlier today, I was informed that my friend and legendary broadcaster Jim Bohannon is hanging up his headphones due to some serious health issues. Jimbo, as he is known both for his size and his rumbling voice, has been broadcasting the Jimbo Hannon Show for nearly 40 years, most recently with Westwood One. The show aired coast to coast between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. Earlier today, I heard the news from my friend and fellow broadcaster Jeff Stein from News Talk 1540 KXEL that Bohannon made the announcement in an emotional podcast recorded by Talker. The illness and the prognosis is grim and not yet announced publicly. That great voice will be off the air is just awful, awful news. That's a wrap for today's edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks so very much for being with us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Jap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.